And now, your speaker, Wayne Stubblefield.
I want us just a moment to think about something that I believe every now and then it's very basic, but we need to go back and just kind of give ourselves a little pep talk. Because I think probably you, like me, sometimes we get caught up in this hurry and worry world in which we live. And it's very easy to let these things, I know I find it true in my own life, and I'm sure that you probably find it true in your life as well, to allow some of these frustrations from time to time to become such a bother, to so affect our life that it is, at least we might find it easier to quit than it would be to press on. Sometimes these trials and these problems and these frustrations and these disappointments can so affect us that they can even lead us to abandon some of the major responsibilities of life. But brethren, as Christians, as children of God, we cannot quit. The consequences are too great. And yet, I know it's the experience, you've experienced it here, I have experienced it everywhere that I have been, sometimes Christians do give up. In spite of all the preaching, in spite of everything, sometimes Christians still quit. And so we need to be aware of this. We need to be conscious of this possibility in our own life. And so it is important for us to recognize this and to try to, from time to time, to just step back and take a look and refocus and try to bring things back into perspective so that we will not quit. Now, here's the context of what I want to talk about this evening. I am convinced that it is possible to give up, to throw in the towel, so to speak, to abandon our walk with God, our spiritual walk with God, and yet all the while still walk through those church doors on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It can happen. It is possible to still be church-going people and still have given up in our walk with God. Brethren, whether it happens outwardly or whether it happens inwardly, the cost is too great for us to give up. Now, the Hebrew writer, and that's where we're going to look in our study tonight, the Hebrew writer from chapter 1 through chapter 13 addresses just this topic, this idea. And over through those early chapters, the writer shouts, don't ever give up, don't look back, don't turn back, don't go back. But having put your hand to the plow of God, you fix your eyes at the end of the row, and you just keep right on plowing until your life is finished. The writer is trying to encourage us to never give up. And I am convinced that in Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 1 through 4, the writer says it better there, in just those four verses, better than anywhere else in the book. Now, I want you to notice how he begins chapter 12. The King James says, wherefore, that is the word therefore. Now, that's not a good place to begin. That is kind of like starting a sentence with the word and. And when you start a sentence with the word and, you know something else has already been said that relates to what you're getting ready to say. And that's exactly what he is saying here when he begins with wherefore. That is a word that means what I'm getting ready to say is based upon some things that I've already discussed. Now, the context of what he discusses in chapter 12 really goes back to chapter 11. And of course, we remember in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, that is that great chapter, we call it the chapter of faith, where there are listed some great heroes of faith that these Christians had. And I hope that you have your own list of heroes, your own list of heroes of faith. I have mine. There are men and women who have lived the Christian life who are now dead. But yet they walked this Christian life and they walked it faithfully. They ran the race. They did not give up. And they're on my list of great heroes of faith, and they are an encouragement to me. It's more than just these that are listed there in Hebrews 11. It's men and women that you and I have known. And so I hope indeed you've got your own list that you think about those who have lived and walked with God through this life faithfully before you, and they serve as an encouragement to you today. But he says, Therefore, being surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, that's what he's talking about. This is what he's addressing. The writer is writing so that we will not lose heart, so that we will not become discouraged, and we will not grow weary. Brethren, I am convinced that we stand in constant jeopardy of growing weary. I am convinced that we stand in constant jeopardy, always in danger of quitting. There are just too many passages in the Bible that address this topic. There are too many places you turn to in the Bible where there is encouragement for us not to quit, for us not to stop. And I don't believe that there's ever been a day in our Christian life that if we had not looked for it, all right, it would not excuse it. It would not justify it in any way. But I'm convinced that if we had looked for it on any day, we could have found a reason to quit if we'd really wanted to. If you and I really wanted to stop walking with God, we could have found some reason around us. Oh, somebody down the street made me mad, or I didn't like the way the preacher said what he said today, or the elders don't come and visit me like they ought to, or on and on and on and on. I don't believe there's ever a day that we couldn't find some reason, if we really wanted to quit. And so there is that danger, and we stand in that constant danger. Now, on top of that, it's an ungodly world. It's a discouraging world. And it's not going to get any better. It never has been an encouraging world. It is not an encouraging world today, and it will not be an encouraging world tomorrow. It is a discouraging world. That's just the world in which we live. And I'm sick to death of everything that you're sick to death of. I'm sick to death of the stupidity of our smartness. Sometimes we think we're so smart, and yet we're so stupid. And so this is the reality of the world in which we live. Now here's what can happen, and here's why I'm mentioning these things. If they become the focus of my life, if those things become the center of my life, and I begin to focus upon them and look at them, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get discouraged. You know what else is going to happen? You're going to become a negative individual. When you become a negative individual, you're going to be bordering very close in wanting to quit. That's just the way it works. And we can become so discouraged and so negative that we just go ahead and throw in the towel. Now again, let me remind you the context of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the possibility of having thrown in the towel spiritually and still be church-going people. And for whatever the reason that might have caused us to quit, whatever the reason may have been, it is always because we have allowed ourselves to look in the wrong place. Now, in these verses that I read just a few minutes ago in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer gives us some reasons of why we should not quit. The writer gives us a great source of encouragement of why we should not turn back and throw in the towel. And I want you to go through these verses with me once again. And let's look at these points that he makes as he's trying to encourage us to press on and not give up. He talks about, first of all, he says that we have a goal. He says there is a finish line. Now, I like track. I love the Olympic Games. I love to see those runners get out there and run. I still, there in Florida, everywhere I go, I'll go out about 5 or 6 days a week and I'll run 2.5 to 3 miles a day. I just love it. To me, track is the ultimate sport. Because many times you're not only running in competition against an opponent, but many times in running you're even competing against your own self. I know a lot of runners, they'll go in and they push their watches and they keep up with their time. They'll go in and write it down in a log and they keep up with all of that, and it's a great challenge to them. And so it is an ultimate sport. But in a run, and if you run, you know what I'm talking about. That which keeps you running is that you know out there's a finish line. You know that you don't have to go out there and run, just keep on running day and night. You know that out there, and you might be in the midst of such pain at that moment, you cannot even see it. But you know it's there. You know the finish line is there. I've watched runners who look like, in just a matter of moments, they were getting ready to just drop dead. Looked like they couldn't take another step. And yet that gun would go off and that would signal just one more lap. And they would just suddenly, like flipping a switch, you'd see them that looked like they was going to drop dead. They'd end up sprinting, gaining speed as they would cross the finish line. Now how did they do that? They brought into a focus the goal line. They brought into a focus that finish line, that line for which they were running. And so they begin by doing all that's necessary in preparation for that race. They don't just go out there on race day and walk up to the starting line, but they begin months and even years before. And they go through all of the training, through all of the they're willing to go through all of this, all of the sacrifice that is necessary to pay that price, so that they might be able to get in there and run that race. Brethren, that's a reason to never give up. Because there is a finish line out there. For the child of God who does not quit, there is a heaven to be received. And the true success of life, is it not the take at the end? Now notice he says, secondly, we've got an inspiration to run that race. And he talks about the witnesses. You know, if you like your coach, you practice a little bit harder. If you really like your coach, you'll work a little bit harder than if you don't like your coach. If you really like the coach, you find a way of digging down a little bit deeper and making that greater effort. Now, sometimes we think we just can't make it any further. Sometimes we think we've reached the point in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, I just can't go it another day. And yet we say to ourselves, I believe we will. That's character. That's what we call character. And I don't know if they're able to look down and see us or not. I don't know. I don't really have any idea. But I do like to think of my brethren who have lived, these brethren I was talking about a while ago, these brethren who have lived the Christian life, who are now dead, but they lived it successfully and they were faithful. I like to think of them as looking down upon me and looking at my race. Brethren who ran well when the going got tough. They did not quit. And I like to think of them looking down upon me as I walk and run in this Christian race, and they say, Wayne, don't give up. Don't quit. The price is just too great. Walk on. Don't look back. Do not throw in the towel. Notice the writer says, though, there's a handicap. I knew there's some bad news somewhere. The writer says there is a handicap, but notice he cannot stay on a sad note too long. Because he says, the good news is that I don't have to run with these weights. I do not have to run this Christian life with these handicaps. Now, these weights that he's talking about in and of themselves, they're not sinful. Not in and of themselves. They're just that. They're weights. And what weights do when you try to run is they weight you down. Or you'll have to drag a little bit, but you cannot run the best that you would want to run, the best that you would be able to run. And so he says these weights that would prevent us from running this race as fast as we can for Jesus, he says they must be put off. And notice that sin in our life are definitely the sin. Definitely that sin that would hinder that race, that walking with the Lord. Definitely it has to be put out of our life because, you see, sin doesn't just weight us down, sin entangles us. And so these weights that would weight us down and hinder us from running, and this sin in our life that would so entangle us, that would cause us to not be able to run, you see, in either case will we be able to win. And so the writer says, put them off. These handicaps, put them away. God's will must become our will. God's priorities must become the priorities of my life. Now notice the writer, he talks about the means, how we're to do this. He says, let us run with perseverance the course that is marked out for us. Now, I think the Lord's got different kind of track men on His track team. He's got some that are sprinters. There are those who have great skills and great talents and being able to get jobs done quickly. There are those who are better skilled with talents in doing some things. And then there are those who are so cooperative that they seem to work better in kind of relay teams. But notice, none of God's people, none of them are to be over there sitting on the sidelines observing and watching the other Christians run the race. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Every single child of God is to get in that marathon race and walk and run, go forward. And do you notice that the success to this run, it doesn't even lie in our strength? The success to this run does not even lie in our own talents, our own abilities. The success to this run does not even depend upon our speed at which we run, but it's perseverance. It's one of not giving up. Brethren, we can never, 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 as children of God, give up. Now, I don't know but one thing that will motivate us to never give up, and that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. When our life is focused in that personal relationship with Jesus, there we will have the motivation that we need to be able to cross that finish line, to be able to say at the end, I have run the race, I finished the course. To be able to say like Paul, I have kept the faith and there is a crown laid up for me. Now notice the ultimate example. And as we run this race, that example that we are to look to, that example that we are to follow in the running of this race, he says, it's Jesus. Now, I think anyone who's going to run a race ought to go out and find the experts in that field and look at them and study them and determine how you need to run the race. If I set my mind that I was going to be a mile runner, I'd go down to Magnus Memorial Library here in town and I would check out all the books. I'd find out who all the great mile runners were of the past. And I'd study everything that I could in those books about those runners. I'd want to know everything about them. I'd want to know how much rest they got, how much they ran each day, what kind of diet they had. Everything that I could learn that would help me to better understand what it was that helped them to be able to run that record race, I'd want to learn that. And if there was even some videos available upon them running, I'd go check those videos out. And I'd look at those videos and I would see their stride and I'd seek to have that same stride. Now, I believe that we can do the same thing spiritually. Now, there's a great danger that you and I face as we run the race. It is possible for me to look at your life and to see that you are doing some wonderful things and God is using you in a great way to His honor and glory. And I can look at my life and think, well, God's just not doing much with me. I guess He just kind of considers I'm not useful. And so we just take a defeated attitude and we go over there and take our seat over on the side. Or it is possible for me to look at your life and to see, well, oh, so-and-so is not too faithful. They don't really ever go visiting. I know they don't teach the lost. I know they don't have any Bible studies. And I know I attend church services more than they do. So I must be a lot more spiritual than they are. You see, that's the danger in which we face. It's easy to measure our spiritual life with that kind of gauge. But the Hebrew writer says that we're to notice. He says we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. Do not look to the right. Do not look to the left. But firmly fix your eyes upon Jesus and follow His example. Learn His style. Imitate His life. Brethren, this is not just preaching. I am convinced that this is the real secret to any endeavor in life, whatever it may be. And that is to look to Jesus. It is finding out what Jesus did over here in this arena. And seeking to emulate that in my life. Imitating it and running it with all the perseverance that I have and all the strength that He supplies. And brethren, if we'll look to Jesus and if we'll seek to imitate Him, then we will win the race. Now notice the standard of comparison for our life. The writer says it's the cross. Look at verse 4. He says, "You have not yet resisted unto the point of shedding your blood in resistance against sin." Someone says, "Wayne, you just don't understand. I have been a Christian for so long that I am tired." The writer says, "Look at the palms of your hands. Are there any nail scars there?" Someone says, "But Wayne, you just don't understand. In spite of everything that I do, it's still not good enough. In spite of how good I still try to live, things still get messed up. And just, my life is just a mess. And I'm wore out, I'm frustrated, I'm aggravated. And so I'm just going to quit. I've tried it." The Hebrew writer says, "Look at your back. Has anyone taken leather straps and beat your back to a bloody pulp? Has anyone of the world come upon you and spit upon you, and have they placed upon your head a crown of thorns, and then have they nailed you to the cross and lifted you up between heaven and earth? Has the world done that to you? Or when can I quit, Wayne? Not until the world has done more to you or to me than the world did to Jesus." And I want to tell you something. The world can never do more to us than it did to Jesus. Or the world might throw as much physical pain and suffering upon us. But you see, the suffering of Jesus on Calvary was more than just physical. Because the Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin for us. And so there on Calvary, your sin and my sin was laid upon Him. The sins of the world was laid upon Jesus. Those sins cannot be laid upon us. We cannot die for our sins and it be to our advantage. And so the world can never, ever do more to us than the world did to Jesus. Never, brethren, can we give up. Oh, I look for that day. I long for that day when the Lord will say to us, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." The Hebrew writer says, brethren, we have no reason to give up. And he musters all the encouragement that we need if we'll look at God's Word and find the strength that God seeks to provide and the encouragement that He seeks to provide to us in His Word. And brethren, if we'll go to that strength, we will not give up. Is it possible this evening that you are here and you're close to giving up? Is it possible you're here this evening and maybe you've actually given up? Maybe you're not involved in any of the works of the church. Maybe all you are, as we say, is just a church goer. And I'm not belittling church going at all. But brethren, there's more to the Christian life than that. The writer says, don't give up. And what? How can I get back if I have given up? You get in the race and start running again. Just like when a runner falls out on the track, he doesn't lay down, he doesn't stay down, he gets up. And he gets right back in that race. And the Lord has made a wonderful provision for the child of God who stumbles and realizes the stumble, the error of his way, and who has that desire to once again want to walk with the Lord. He stands there ready to receive us back. And this evening, if you're here and you have abandoned your walk with God, if you're here this evening and you're close to quitting, refocus your life. If there's sin in your life, get rid of it. Seek forgiveness of it. Repentance. Make things right. If you're discouraged and you're down and out, refocus your life and look at Jesus. Focus upon Him. If you're here this evening and you've never started the Christian walk, it's a glorious walk. It's a joy. It is a joy to walk with Jesus, the Lord, our Creator. If you're subject to that invitation, won't you come?